Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to Peter, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. Welcome to morning worship at Cramond Kirk on Sunday the 20th of September. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. God of mercy, as you have forgiven us, help us forgive one another. Teach us to trust you even when hope is failing. Encourage us to take up our cross daily and follow in the way of our Saviour Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Compassion, kindness, honesty, loyalty, generosity. Of all the many Christian virtues to which we aspire, what do you think is the most challenging? Let me stake a claim for forgiveness. I think forgiveness is the most challenging of all the Christian virtues. Why? Because there's nothing natural about it. Forgiveness goes against the grain. When threatened or attacked, the human instinct is to defend, to hit back, to retaliate. So when you've been hurt or offended, when someone's upset you, when your trust or your love has been betrayed, how do you find it in your heart to forgive? The answer is, you don't. For the truth is, neither you nor I have the capacity nor the instinct to forgive. Instead, forgiveness comes to us as a gift. And in large measure, that's one of the important insights of Jesus' great parable of the unforgiving servant. We're going to hear it now, and this morning's reader is one of our elders, Elaine Bealey.
Let us hear the word of God. The reading is taken from the New Testament, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and reading from verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and his children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay me what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his lord handed him over to the tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Amen.
Thank you, Elaine. Scene 1. A servant who owed the king a great amount of money is threatened with imprisonment. But to his surprise, his plea is heard and his debt cancelled. Scene 2. The forgiven servant refuses to cancel the much smaller debt of a fellow servant and has him thrown into jail. Scene 3. When the king hears of what has happened, the unforgiving servant is recalled, chastised, thrown into jail, and receives what you might describe as his just deserts. Like so many of Jesus's parables, this was told against a background of Jewish tradition, the custom of the blood feud, whereby someone could extract revenge not just on the person who had wronged them, but on the adversary's family. Now, the custom had been mediated over the years, no more than an eye for an eye. But by Jesus's day, it was sufficient to forgive someone a maximum of 4 times before you were entitled to extract revenge. If suggesting that someone be forgiven 7 times, Peter expected praise, Jesus's parable introduces us to something more, to the unlimited nature of God's forgiveness, God's grace. Divine forgiveness is not something earned, deserved. It comes to us as a gift to all who believe and trust in the forgiving love of God in Christ. And it was this understanding of divine forgiveness that so exercised the 16th century Augustinian priest, the father of the Reformation, Martin Luther, a troubled and troubling individual. Luther railed against the practice of selling indulgences, an ever more elaborate scheme in the medieval church, whereby through a payment to the church, someone's sin could be remitted, or at least their time spent in purgatory reduced. Luther had no time for what he considered to be this pious nonsense. His objection wasn't to specific abuses of the system, but to the system itself. The church's unsustainable claim that forgiveness was in its gift, the church's gift. Forgiveness, Luther believed, was in God's hands. And for the church to claim a role, worse still, for the church to charge for that role, was, in his view, a total anathema. Surely, Luther asked, for a person to acknowledge their sin and realise they were in need of forgiveness required a degree of contrition, not just an ability to pay. As Jesus's parable made clear, God was not going to be fooled, and whatever else it did, emptying your wallet didn't equate to genuine sorrow. Some years ago, I attended the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, as well as the usual business of committee reports, debates and decisions. One afternoon of the Assembly was given over to the theme of healing, forgiveness and reconciliation. One of the ministers spoke, a man who'd served 16 years in prison, convicted of being a loyalist paramilitary, and who confessed to having maimed and murdered. One of the elders spoke, a woman whose husband, a serving police officer, had been killed when a bomb exploded under his car. Two people sharing the same platform, two members of the same church, two people scarred by the experience of what were called the Troubles, and two people who, in different ways, had also experienced the gift of forgiveness, divine forgiveness, and the new life it brought. Forgiveness is the most challenging of all the Christian virtues. Forgiveness isn't something any of us can earn or deserve. You'll not find it for sale on Amazon, because all forgiveness comes from God. All forgiveness is a gift of divine grace. And however challenging, that's why Jesus insisted that those of us who bear his name must be willing to forgive, not seven, but 77 times. Why? Because of all people. We are the ones, you and me, who know that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Behind us and before, above us and deep within, you are ever present, watching over us, our going out, our coming in, and in all the changing circumstances of life, you walk beside us, our refuge and our strength. As we turn to you, our Maker and our friend, let our prayers be joined with the prayer of Christian people the world over, all offered to the glory of your holy name. Holy God, guiding, stirring, shaping, binding, your wisdom unsettles, your generosity disturbs. With sadness we confess, although you created a world to be good, many people hunger and thirst for food and clean water, for education and justice, for the chance to live full and rewarding lives. As once you set people free from the chains of slavery, free our hearts and minds from the chains of indifference in the face of poverty. Save us from ignorance in the face of fact, the folly of thinking nothing can change. Heal and restore our relationship with the environment and with one another. And in the forgiveness of our sins, grant us a willingness to change our way of life back to the path of life set before us in our Saviour Christ. God of grace, bless your church in this and in every place. In our concern for people who are refugees and far from home, in our care for those who are homeless, in our love for people sick and neglected, that our common life will be shaped by the healing grace of the gospel. God of freedom, you led your people of old with cloud by day and fire by night. Lead our nation in the ways of justice and truth, upholding, we pray, the rule of law, respecting our place in the family of nations, and in all the opportunities and challenges we face as a country, bless our political leadership with integrity, a willingness to seek the common good, a desire to build strong relationships of trust. God of compassion, hold in your healing power people ill at home or in hospital. Comfort any who mourn a loved one's passing, and help each of us be a good neighbour to all who are in need. God of time, God of eternity, bless to us our communion with the saints. Keep strong our faith in the power of your love, and in all the activities of the coming week, help us walk by faith, not by sight, until you call us home into the one kingdom of your love, through our Saviour Christ, in whose name we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Go now in the love and peace of Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you this day and evermore. Amen.